I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we're here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Well, let me ask you something. Are we stupid? I think I asked that question, didn't I, in a recent column I have on the platform, AmericaOutLoud.com. You can go there and see all the columns that I write. And that was a question that I had. I had some conversations with some actually very intelligent people who are much more liberal than I am. Let's put it that way. And during these conversations, I find several really interesting points of view. Number one, we seem to see the world completely differently. We can look at the exact same set of facts and see things completely differently. And I'm sure you've had that same kind of an experience. You know, I look at this mail-in voting nonsense and I'm saying, why are our friends on the left pushing so hard for this now, nonstop? They're trying to make up all kinds of lies that the president's trying to stop the post office and Postmaster DeJoy is doing things to, you know, prevent the liberals from being elected, getting Joe Biden to be the president. And in reality, there's no such thing going on. But why is it that my friends on the left, they see it so clear? They know that Trump is going to cheat. Well, I think one of the reasons that they see it so clearly is because they believe this Russia hoax nonsense. You know, now it's been disproved by four different major investigations that the Trump team did not collude with anybody. If anybody colluded at all and did anything inappropriate, it was the Clinton team and their campaign, along with a lot of members of the intelligence services from our country, and probably the Obama administration, including Joe Biden, who were doing what they could to stop Trump. Now, we've been over that how many thousands of times, and we're still waiting and waiting and waiting for the Attorney General to come out with some kind of report. So I don't want to bounce around too much, but I have a lot of things that are going on. So when I have my conversation with my left-wing friends, and one guy in particular who I've always really liked, and I always knew he was kind of liberal, but this whole, you know, Trump thing has brought him out to a fever pitch where it's almost as though his intelligence doesn't count anymore. We see things so completely differently. He's saying, listen, mail-in voting is absolutely safe and secure. There is nothing wrong with it. You get your ballot, you fill it out, and you send it in, and your vote is counted. And if you don't want to do that, it's because you don't want certain people to vote. I mean, he really and truly believes that. When I say to him, okay, well, you know, there are lots of instances, proof, that people will fake up mail-in balloting, that you can see. Where can you see it? Where can you see it? And I point out most recently in Paterson, New Jersey, there was a local council seat, and there was so much fraud in the mail-in balloting that they had to discount the election and order a new one because there was so much fraud in the voting, right? How many times have we seen across the last bunch of election cycles, whether it's dog catcher or president of the United States, when the left-wing candidate is really close and it looks like they may lose, somebody finds 40,000 ballots in their trunk that they forgot to turn in from the voting place. You know, this doesn't happen by accident. You know, all these cliches that we have about, you know, dead people voting is true. Barack Obama himself said it. He was from Chicago. And, you know, in Chicago, there's been some instances of problems. So when I say this to my friend, and when you look it up, there are about 1,800 incidences of voter fraud in the last couple of years. 1,800. But yet on the news media, they sit there and they say, there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that the vote will be inappropriate, other than the fact that Trump will cheat. That's why he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want people of color to vote. And he can prevent them from voting by not allowing mail-in voting. It's dumbfounding to me to see people that are intelligent, that are just so closed off. I mean, I sit here, you know, day after day with you. Every afternoon at 3 o'clock, we sit together and we talk about things. And I say, you know, if there's something I'm missing, I want to know it. I want to know what it is, right? I don't want to have some mistaken point of view. I want to know the truth. and then I'll deal with it, whether it fits my worldview or not. Because my worldview might be wrong about something. I would rather have the correct view, the right one, the legitimate one, than just stick to my view. But our friends on the left don't seem to want to see that. And I think the argument that can easily be made is that if we know there are small-scale instances of voter fraud, like recently in New York, one of the congressional districts had a mail-in voter campaign. 60,000 votes is how many they were expecting to come in. Well, they did this in June. They didn't get an answer until the middle of August, only a week or so ago, were they able to answer that election. And that was with 60,000 votes. Not 120 million that we're expecting in the presidential campaign. Mark Levin, the great one, was talking on his program the other day, and he's absolutely right. The problem is also every state has different election laws. Trump does not control the election laws of the states. So first of all, we have such bad information out there as to how this actually functions, who does what, who's responsible for what, and how it's done. It's absurd. Remember back in Florida when it was Bush versus Gore and they were counting chads, you know, when you punch a little thing in a piece of paper, and they had to determine, gee, there's a mark on the chad, but it's not pushed through. I think that person meant to. No, well, there's two almost punches. Which one is more harder push, do you think? So we can count that vote. Absurd. This is all nonsense. The reality is, because there is undoubtedly voter fraud, even if it's a small amount of voter fraud, that could flip the election in one of these contested states and send the presidency one side or the other that it shouldn't be. The winner, the legitimate winner, is the one who should win the election. Not those who have a better apparatus for stealing it or for twisting it. And I don't think the Bush people, listen to me. I don't think the Trump people are gonna cheat. They're not in cahoots with anybody. They just want a genuine vote. So I'm going to say to all my friends who are on the right, if you want to vote, your best bet is to go to your polling place with your mask on, of course, because, you know, we're all good sheeple. Go there with your mask and push the lever. Now, hopefully the booths are all working, that they're not tampered with, but that's your best way. Because mailing these things in, we have seen videos. There's videos out there you can see of mailmen and mailwomen throwing mail away all the time. Now, it's not all of them. There's a couple of bad apples, just like there's a couple of bad apples in law enforcement and bad apples in doctors. There's always going to be a couple of bad apples in any industry. But we have seen over and over again mailmen who dump the mail when they don't feel like delivering it, or they didn't get to their route, or they're doing whatever. Well, what do you think is going to happen if you have a partisan mailman and he can see on those ballots, there's a little R in the code if it was sent to a Republican and a D if it was sent to a Democrat, and he just doesn't like the Republicans. Or even better yet, he doesn't like the Democrats and he throws away all their votes. Now, I don't want Joe Biden to win. I'm not in favor of Joe Biden's policies, but I wouldn't want any of his votes inappropriately thrown away. That's not a fair election. Every American deserves the results of a fair election. Whichever way it goes, it goes. And then we have to deal with it. But as soon as we destroy the integrity of our election process, we are no longer America. Think about that. We are no longer America if we get rid of our election ability to honestly choose who will represent us. It's unfortunate. It's scary that this is happening. But if you can imagine that there's any amount of fraud, that should be enough for us to say the states are not prepared to do this. We cannot say take something as important as a presidential election, or any election for that matter, but especially the presidential election, at a time when the country is in such upheaval, and give it to chance. So we got to say, why are our friends on the left pushing so hard for this? The only reason to push so hard for this is because they know there's that element of fraud is going to work in their favor. And that is enough for us to all say, you know what? If we want to do this vote by mail, we need to figure it out way, way, way in advance, not 75 days outside of an election that's going to change the way our country moves forward. So that's what I wanted to say about that. You know, we have the Democrat convention was held, and we have the Republican convention going to be rocking and rolling. And we're going to see two different versions of America. Now, I didn't want to argue with my left-wing friend about the convention stuff, but I can imagine how that conversation would go. Now, I saw the Democrat convention, and I could not, honestly, I could not sit and listen to every single one of the speeches, not because I had my fingers in my ears and I just don't want to hear the truth, but because I know many of the truths already from my life experience, my own research, the eyes in my head, and seeing how things actually go. And I knew that most of the things they were going to say were going to be lies. They were going to be twisted. They were going to present America in a light that I don't know who they're trying to appeal to. It was horrific. For the things that I did see, I can say, here's what came out of that convention, is that America was founded inappropriately. It was founded by racists. It was founded by haters. It was founded by people who only care about the rich, nobody else. It was founded on trickery and deceit. It was founded to hurt little people. It was founded to maintain a hold on any minority personnel that come to our country. It was meant to keep out anyone in this country that didn't provide more money for the rich. It's an evil place, and it really has to go. The Constitution is not for everyone. The Constitution is a flawed document. The Declaration was flawed. Everything was wrong with this country. And it's totally unfair to anyone who has a different lifestyle or a different way of looking at the world. That's what I got out of that convention. And I really wanted to hear, okay, I know how Trump is going to bring the economy back. Tried and true conservative principles. He's going to cut more taxes, which he previously cut for a lot of businesses. And we saw the economic boom that allowed everyone in our country to get jobs and live a pretty good lifestyle until the COVID-19 nonsense. So I know what he's going to do. He's going to cut more regulation. He's going to cut more taxes. He's going to empower people to go out and do things, entrepreneurs to make businesses and to get away from some regulation that's going to, you know, that chokes the life out of a business so that you can hire more people, so that you can do more things. That's what I know he's going to do. Okay, that's so I have an idea of what Trump will do. So I said, I really want to hear what the Democrats are going to do because I don't want to just say, well, I know what they're all about if I don't really know. Do you get that? So I really wanted to hear what they had to say. And instead of hearing about economic policy and what they were going to do, I heard about how Republicans, conservatives, and all of America pretty much hate everybody else in this country that's not like them. And therefore, we have to take the country away from the people that control it now and give it to every other group in the country that has never been served by America. And I leave that purposely vacant because you can fit any number of factors into that. Who's in control? The rich? Who's got privilege? Who doesn't have privilege? We're going to take that all away and we're going to give it to everyone else who's never had it before. That's kind of what I heard instead of economic policy. Now, what I hear previously before their convention, and I've heard again recently now, is that Joe Biden said he is going to raise taxes on America. He is going to remove the tax cuts that President Trump put in place. He's going to reverse them. He's going to go back to the Paris Accords, which are an absolute joke and a drain and a burden on America and not the rest of the world. He is going to open the borders and flood our country with, you know, God bless people want a better life. You know, we've always said that here on Chasing Justice. I know why they come. They want a better life. But that doesn't mean we're obligated to give people a better life. You have to earn your better life here. So people that come here and they need things because they just don't have the skills. They don't have the education. They need health care. They need housing. They need food. We cannot just take in every single person on the planet who desires to come here and wants some stuff. We just can't do it. We can't physically do it. We will go down in ruin. So by Joe Biden saying he's going to raise taxes, open the borders, cut back on the military, that was the little bit of things that I did hear. I don't want any part of that Do you? If you're listening out there in Pennsylvania and Michigan and you're not sure, even at this late date, you're going to, you know, wait and see how it comes out and you're going to wait and see what goes on. I mean, God bless you if you're still in that position. But it could not be more stark right now between the two possibilities for our future. Whether you vote for Trump or you vote for Biden, you're going to get something. Now, all I hear from my friends on the left, including this good friend of mine that we argue all the time, is that Trump is a hateful racist who only does things for himself. If it isn't got a benefit for him, he's not going to do it. And then I point out, well, what about the tax cuts and how the economy took off? That's Obama's economy. It was getting better all along. And it finally flourished. I said, no, it flourished when we cut regulation and Trump cut the taxes for the businesses. Don't you see that? You're an intelligent guy. And he honestly could not see that fact. He couldn't, he either couldn't or he wouldn't. You know, Trump derangement syndrome. I always thought that was a funny tagline, but I never really considered it to really be a truth. Because, you know, I can't imagine being so deranged by something like that. I didn't care for President Obama's policies, right? I didn't care for Bill Clinton's policies, but it didn't make me nuts. I wasn't like blind seeing red and logic went out the window and truth didn't matter. But that's what happens with a lot of these people. It's shocking. I don't get it. Okay, I could say you don't like the things, you know, that Trump has done in his past. He was a playboy. He was a rich guy. He took advantage of situations. You know, but you know what? That goes on every single day. You don't have to just be, you know, a rich guy to do that. People take advantage of their situation whenever they can, usually. Now, that, I'm not condoning any of the negative things he might have done. But you know what? Let those with no sins cast the first stone kind of a thing. Don't you get it? All I've heard him say while in office is that he loves the country. He loves all the people of the country. He wants everyone to do well, and his policies and what he does actually demonstrates that. They say he's a racist. I haven't seen him do anything racist. I've seen him do prison reform that he felt was important, that many communities in our country think are very important, and he did it. He did it with an open heart. He went out there and said, let's see if there's something wrong, let's fix it. Right? Some people I know that are in different lifestyle communities. He's going to round us up. He's going to take us away to internment camps. He's going to, you know, try and indoctrinate our thinking. And I say, okay, it's been 3.5 years. Have they come knocking on your door to drag you away? Has anything happened? No. Trump could care less. Most Americans could care less. Who loves who? Just love each other. That would be really good. Let's leave everybody alone about that, right? So I don't see any of the things that they see. And I find that just really, really hard to understand. You know, how are we ever going to come together? Isn't that the tagline we also got out of the Democrat convention? Joe Biden is the guy who's going to bring us together. He's going to bring the country together. Okay, well, let's ask a couple of simple questions. Mr. Biden, you believe that it's okay to kill babies even right after they're born? How about the people who don't think that's correct? How are you going to bring us to that point of view that, okay, you know what, we'll give in to killing the babies as long as you lower our taxes? Oh, you're not going to lower our taxes. You see what I'm saying? Well, we want lower taxes, Mr. Biden. No. I think you live way above your means and we should raise your taxes. Oh, how are you bringing us together? How is the message of the left going to bring our country together? So that's our parting question here for our opening segment here on Chasing Justice. We'll be back in a minute. Keep thinking, because there's a lot more to talk about.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, HealthyCell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit HealthyCell.com/sleep. That's HealthyCell.com/sleep.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, our first segment really got me going and got me thinking. As I make my notes, you know, one of the things you try and put together, you want to say, hey, how can I make a show that's enjoyable? You know, I have lots of people out there at 3 o'clock that like to tune in. I'm thrilled to be here. I can't believe the privilege I have to actually spend time with you out there every day at 3 o'clock. And I say, how do I make an interesting show? You know, what topics can I bring up? Who wants to listen to my point of view? Well, I think my point of view is the point of view that a lot of people have. Not because it's mine and they adopt it. No, but I think people think this way in general. I try and be I don't like to say a generalist when it comes to thinking, but I like to look at things honestly and openly and see where is the logic? You know, where is the logic and the truth in what's going on? And that's what gets confounding. You know, our two different party systems here, what we've developed into now is we have one party, the Republicans, who are trying to stay on a traditional, constitutional-based individualism type of a thing where every person is empowered to go out and follow their dreams. That the government is not supposed to come along and make your dreams happen. What they should do is get the hell out of your way so your dreams can happen. But it's up to the individual to do the work, to work hard, to put in the effort. Whether you rise or fall, it falls on you. Now, of course, there should be a societal safety net. That's an obvious principle. That's just a decent thing to do. If some people are having trouble, we don't want people to go hungry or homeless or without pants, right? So as a society, we have to have a safety net because sometimes people fall on hard times. Things happen. I've been in those positions where you fall on hard times, no fault of your own. How many people lost their jobs with this COVID-19 Chinese virus, right? How many thousands and millions of people lost their jobs? Was that their fault? It wasn't their fault. So normally I'm against, you know, big government expenditures, but when people have no money to pay their rent, when people have no money to buy food, in extraordinary circumstances like this, then that's the time when government has a role to help us. And I think that's a very conservative principle. Our friends on the left, on the other hand, though, they see so many people and groups of people as victims that they can't do it. They just can't do it. Which I think that in itself is an ugly thing to say to anyone. Well, we don't think you can do it. Now, they don't come right out and say that. They just do it in subtler ways. You know, we know the situation is stacked against you. We know people are out to crush you. We know people hate you. And therefore, we're going to make the playing field fair. We're going to step in and do it. And all you have to do is let us make the decisions for you. Now, this is the stark position of our two parties. Our Democrat Party now is gone so far beyond just the, you know, party for the people, where the Republicans were seeing the party for business. And it may be at one time there was more true than it is today. But at this point in time, we see our friends on the left are going so far to the left that they can't really tell us what they really believe. Now, I'm not talking about the individual Democrats who are living at home, the real people who go to work every day, who are trying to do the right thing, and they just believe a lot of this rhetoric that they hear. You can't blame them. Just about every news source in the world, except for America Out Loud, tells you a fed line, a made-up line, a story, a narrative to get you to believe one way or another. We don't have truth in the media, except for America Out Loud. We don't get truth in the media. We get lies. We get shaded stories. We get biased stories. So that'll move us one way or another. And that is inappropriate. And our friends on the left, they're going so far that they're going past just being the government that stands up for the little guy, And it seems very, very clear to me when we see the powers that are pushing the party behind the scenes. Because Joe Biden, he's just the face. They can call him a moderate. Kamala Harris, she's a moderate. And we know she was voted the most liberal senator in the United States Senate. And we know Joe Biden, maybe a nice guy, not really in control of what's going on. He's just gone for the ride. This is his third shot at the golden ring, and he's going to take it. And if they want him to do whatever, he's going to do it. So we already seen him change positions. He had to back up. We see Kamala Harris has to back up and change her positions. One time she's totally for the police, locking everybody up. Next, she's, oh, the police are bad, defund the police. Then Joe Biden said, oh, I'm not about defunding the police. And she, no, I'm not about defunding the police. No, we got to get more police. They're blowing in the wind, and they want to take us to a socialist future. I don't say that. I couldn't imagine a couple years ago really believing that, because you couldn't imagine that in America, that that's what people are going to do, that there's actually a major American party that would say, we're going to go socialist. Now, they don't come out and say those words. A lot of their followers do. Bernie Sanders, who's got a lot of power in the party now, he is a registered socialist, right? We see lots of people who are socialist within the party, and they are trying to pull our country to the left and into socialism. We see young people. We see thousands and thousands and thousands of young people who, when polled, actually say, socialism is actually not just better than capitalism, it is the thing we should be aiming for. You know, I saw a t-shirt the other day this kid was wearing, young kid, 19, 20 years old, and it says, Trump is the symptom, capitalism is the disease, and socialism is the cure. Well, that would have been a joke. That would have been a punchline a couple of years ago. It's not a punchline anymore. This is the party that is running right now. But of course, like I said, they can't come out and tell you what they're really going to do. You have to look around the edges, right? So Joe Biden says he's going to raise your taxes, he's going to reverse the Trump tax cuts, and he's going to increase regulation. What do you think that is going to do to our economy, to your job? You know, one of their goals is to get rid of fracking. So if you're in one of those states where fracking has given you a tremendous lifestyle for you and your family, they want to take that away. If you're in a coal-producing area, they want to shut you down. Remember Hillary said she was going to shut them down and you were all going to be retrained to do computer programming, right? This is what they intend to do. This is the future under our friends on the left, because they are socialists now. I've come to that conclusion. Not because I want it to be, or because I don't like them, or because I love Trump. It's because I listen to what they actually say and what they're doing. And you'd have to be blind to not see it. But you know what? There was a time when that was the argument. I would say, I think I see them going to the left so far that they're going to become socialist. And people would say, people on the left would argue and say, absolutely not. They're not. Now, it's not a matter of that they're going socialist. It's how far socialist are they going to go and how fast are they going to get there? And I don't think, I don't know. Let me put it that way. I don't know that our people that are feeling that way, that socialism is better, that young man with the t-shirt, has any real comprehension of what it means to live in a socialist country. All they're given is these platitudes and these bumper sticker sayings. Fairness, equality will be what happens. Everyone will live the same. Do you honestly believe that if we go socialist, there's not going to be a class system that will make the problems we have now look like a joke? You know, some are more more fair than others, or what was that from the farm book? Some are more appropriate than others, whatever it was. The leadership, the people who run the socialist governments, they have the really nice houses, the big, big, nice jobs. They have all the comforts of everyone else. You get equality, equality of food lines, equality of crappy housing, economy that is coming apart. You get the equality of everyone being miserable. You know, that is what socialism really offers, because I've seen it. And now for people who say, well, what about Scandinavia? Or what about Denmark? You cannot compare a country that size with a homogeneous population that is not a world power, that does not have a world economy, to America and say it would be exactly the same here in America. If you do, you're not thinking clearly. You don't have the facts. So this kid in this t-shirt, all he's spouting is slogans because he wants fairness and justice. Well, I think we all want that, don't we? We all want fairness and justice. We don't get fairness and justice by handing over everything to a government entity to decide what is fair and what is just. See, that's the beauty of America. You know, we, the people, make those decisions. The government works for us. Now, granted, in our modern world, I can imagine if our forefathers were here now to see the way the government runs now, and how we have really no say in anything anymore, they would not be happy with what we have done, how we've stewarded this beautiful, wonderful, and tremendous form of government that they gave us and this Constitution. I'm sure. I'm positive of that. You know, we started a war over a 3% tea tax, right? That was one of the factors in the Revolutionary War that really tipped it over. Can you imagine now that you pay 50 and sometimes 60% of your income in various different kinds of taxes just to live your life? Could you imagine if you got 35% of your tax money back, what you could do with that, right? If you had that money back, what would you do? You could buy a better house. You could buy a better car. You could eat better food. You could do lots of things for your family, pay for education, if you had the money in your hands. But we don't. You know, and that's what socialism is going to do. Socialism is going to take more. You got people like AOC, Cortez, talking about, you know, 70 and 80% tax rates on the millionaires. Take it from the millionaires. Where the hell does that come from, that because somebody has more than you, you think you have a right to go take it from them? What the hell is that? Well, that's a socialistic, communist kind of an attitude. They have too much, comrade. We take it from them and make it fair for everyone. And then you hear the arguments, well, they didn't get it, they inherited it. I don't care how the hell they got it. It's theirs, it's not mine. I don't just go in and take it. And this is the problem. This is the problem with our friends on the left. This is what they want to do. What I don't see is that my friends who consider themselves liberal and Democrat, I don't think they see that. And I don't like saying that like as if they're dumb and I see things they don't. But how can two people, relatively intelligent people, look at the exact same situation and I find it abhorrent what they would do to us and to our country, to each and every one of us? And my friend looks at it and goes, man, that would be great. That would be awesome. Everybody would have the same things. You wouldn't have these rich fat cats anymore. You wouldn't have these people that, you know, could hold all the wealth. Everyone would have the wealth. Where the hell do you think the wealth comes from? People that have businesses that are worth millions and millions of dollars that they built from nothing, or they built it from inheritance that their father gave them. It doesn't matter. They built it up. Did they have an advantage over you because their father had $2 million and gave it to them? Yes, they sure did. But you know what? That's how life goes. Not everybody is as good looking as Lieutenant Joe. Is that my fault? No. And for you people that are losing your minds right now, it's a joke. I'm making a joke. You get the idea, though? Sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't. But there's lots of people who had nothing and turned it into the biggest thing. What did we just hear? Microsoft and Apple, how much they're worth. Apple is the first American company valued at $2 trillion. That started in a garage. Amazon started in a storefront, flipping books around cheaper than you could buy them at the bookstore. And they turned into huge American success stories, leading the future of commerce in America. Socialism doesn't make a place for that. Socialism would tear that down. What do you think? The government's going to go in and take over Amazon and take all their profits and distribute it to everyone. Guess what? Everyone's getting a bonus check. Everyone in the country is going to get a $25,000 check because Amazon did great this year. Is that what you really think is going to happen? And that's where the confusion comes in. I can't see it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me how somebody intelligent could look at that situation and go, It'll be better that way than it is now. I really don't get it, my friends. Is that what you think? Do you believe that? Because we have an election coming up in a couple of months. In a couple of months, we have an election coming up that's going to determine the direction of our country. Now, I've said this before about, you know, if Trump wins, I think that's our better hope for an economic recovery and to keep our country strong so that we lift everyone's boats, right? I want everyone to be good. Every race, every color, every creed, every religion. I want all my brothers and sisters in America to have a good life. I want everyone to enjoy themselves and take care of their family and live whatever lifestyle they feel makes them happy. I think that's what I want for America. And I think when I look at the two opportunities we're going to have on November 3rd, I can't imagine that the liberal point of view is going to do anything that's going to help us. It's going to damage us. We haven't even started talking about the violence in the streets. Our cities are still burning. People are still rioting every single day. Have you heard any politicians come out and put this down other than the president? Have you heard anyone on the left? At their convention, they did not even talk about it. Right? They didn't even talk about the horror that's going on. Can you imagine the people that are living in those communities, the good and decent people that have to live with rioting every single day and things burning and their businesses being destroyed? I can't even imagine that. It's going on in America and it's being allowed to go on. Let alone the hypocrisy from the leaders. That Mayor Lightfoot, she recently came out and she had the police block protesters from coming down the street where her home is. And she comes out and says, well, me and my wife and our family, we deserve to have safety and we deserve to not have to deal with that. Why does she and her wife get to live safe and secure with the protection of the police? But we should defund the cops in every other neighborhood, especially the ones that really need the police protection. And all of those people, they don't deserve to live a safe life. Why does the mayor deserve to live a safe life? Because that's another left-wing point of view. She is important. She runs the city. She has great value. So therefore, she has to be protected. That's the reality of how the left functions, right? That's the value of how the left functions. And if we cannot see these things, I can't even tell you right now. I have a great feeling that President Trump is going to win re-election. I have two concerns. Number one, I don't know that the voting won't be tampered with, which we talked about in the first segment. And number two, I don't know how many people are falling prey to the nonsense that they're putting out on the left about this utopian socialist world that they want to have, this green world. I don't know, my friends. You know, I ended the first segment today, you know, screaming and hollering on a high note. And now I'm contemplating a little further down the road. You know, what exactly is going to happen on November 3rd? Well, the difference is going to be you. You have to talk to your friends, talk to your family, get the facts, make good, solid arguments of whichever way you decide is the right way for our country to go. Because, you know, we get the government we deserve. That's the reality of how that vote comes out. But we have to have a good vote so that it's fair and it's honest. And whichever way the chips fall, that's what we're going to have to deal with. So this is your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I'll be back in a minute for round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro here on Chasing Justice. Welcoming you back. Okay, so we have some time here together to sort out some more of this American upheaval. You know, maybe that's what I'll call this episode, American upheaval, because we are in upheaval. You know, I saw the RNC and the DNC with their conventions, and we talked a little bit about the DNC convention, which took place not too long ago, and the RNC convention is upcoming. So my impressions of the DNC was that it was dour, it was down, it was a dystopian view of our country and where it was going to go, and I didn't recognize it. Now the RNC, the Republicans, are going to have their convention, and I'm going to assume that it's going to be much more upbeat, because for my lifetime, when I watch things like this between the Republicans and the Democrats, I always seen the Republicans talk about the positive, the future, you know, the shining city on a hill, you know, the greatness of America, the opportunity of America, how to make it bigger, better, greater. You don't hear that from our Democrat friends. We hear how bad things are, how down they are, how rotten everything is. And that's not the future I want. I want a positive future. Now, if we are just going to allow words to influence us, that's really the purpose of advertising, right? And isn't that what these conventions are? They're advertising. So do you fall for advertising, right? If you see a new laundry detergent that's going to keep your clothes perfect and make them look brand new and get out every single kind of stain you got on it, no matter what it is, and it's $1.99 a gallon, you might pay attention to that. If you do clothes, right? You wash your own clothes. You need your clothes to be clean. You might listen to that. But then you hear a couple of reviews where they say, yeah, in reality, it's really cheap. And it the first once or twice that you wash your clothes, man, they look great. But the third time, they dissolve and disintegrate because of the chemicals in there. You wouldn't buy it. But the advertising sounds great. So the RNC and the DNC conventions are really commercials. They're trying to connect to us so that we feel something, right? Because emotion is what sells anything. Emotion is what sells anything. If you are emotive, you will connect with more people, because that's what human beings are. We're made of emotions. We're made of feelings, right? We have feelings of anger. We have feelings of love. We have feelings of sadness. We have feelings of great, great joy. That's how we're built. And there's so many other emotions in there. But if you connect with someone's emotion, they will give you a minute to listen. And then you have to tell them something. Well, if you tell them something that, one, they want to hear, they're probably going to listen more and see it favorably. If you tell them something they don't want to hear, but they need to hear, you have to make a compelling reason to do it, for them to listen. Or number three, you tell them something that they don't want to hear, so therefore you camouflage it and you hide it. Just like the manufacturer of the clothing liquid that doesn't tell you by the third time you wash your clothes, they're going to disintegrate. So when we look at these two conventions, the Republican convention, like I said, I expect it to be upbeat. I expect to see lots of red, white, and blue. I expect to see real people who are living real lives. I expect to see probably some police. You know, President Trump's a big supporter of police and law enforcement, God bless him, and our military. He's strengthened our military. I expect to see this upbeat, pro-America, we're going forward, you know, we're marching to that shining city on the hill. We're going to polish up that shining city on a hill, and boy, it's going to glow better than ever. That's what I'm expecting. Now, that's the way I see the world. That's the way I see America, right? I get we've had sins of the past. We did things wrong, but we've changed them like no other country in the world has changed what they've done wrong. We have saved the world, literally saved the world, with our blood and treasure and our people many, many times over. Can you imagine a world where America, the United States of America, didn't exist? Can you imagine what would have happened in the world? The march of communism, you think they would have taken over if there was no America to fight back? What would Europe look like? Not just World War I. What would we look like after World War II? What would the whole globe look like? Had the Axis powers won because there was no America? How would you be living today? How would your children be living? What would the legacy of our planet be? Right? America is that shining city on a hill. That red, white, and blue means something. Right? We recognize there were things that were not perfect in the past, because that's how humanity was. I'm not making excuses for those sins of the past. They were abominations. No one should have done the things that they did. But that was the essence of the time. We see how bad that is now, and we move past it. We change laws. We're trying to change hearts and minds to do away with racism and hatred and all the other bad things that are out there. That is part of a growing and loving nation. And that's what America is to me. We're fixing what's wrong. When we realize it's wrong, we try to fix it. And I see that in so many different ways. You see attitudes changing about so many things. Things that just 30 years ago would have been fighting words, now everybody just kind of accepts. Okay, well, that's how it is. Who cares, right? This is the essence, I guess, of this concern I have for the future, is that we're going to go one way or the other. And what happens, we go with Trump, I cut off on that thought earlier, so I apologize. You know, when I got a lot of these thoughts going, sometimes I just get rip-roaring and I lose my place. But what I was saying was, you know, even if President Trump wins and we get a 4-year reprieve, that is only going to embolden the left, because we don't go out and put them down. We don't go down and shut down their movements. We don't block the streets and beat them up and yank them out of their car. Hey, we won. Guess what? Constitutional capitalist America won. So we're going to yank people out of their cars and beat them up and put them in prison. We don't do any of those things. We pretty much just move along and hope that we can bring those people along with us, change their hearts and minds. Well, that's not how that works. See, that's the other lesson of life that we all need to be cued into. And this is where my young friends that are out there, you know, if you're on the left and you're thinking, you know, all this talk about equality and social justice and everything, yeah, everybody wants that. Everybody wants that. It's how you go about getting it is the difficult part. You don't demand things out of people. You don't beat people up. You are hurting your cause every single day. That people are out protesting, blocking traffic, pulling people out of cars, burning buildings, causing chaos and crime in the street, that does not help your cause for people to say, you know what? They're thinking the right things. Let's do what they want to do. No, that's not how you make change. You make change by making the best case. You know, look at Dr. Martin Luther King. He marched in the face of great hatred, and he didn't raise his hand. Instead, he raised his cheek. And he kept walking, and he kept doing the right thing. He led by example. And it turned people's hearts. Because when you saw that hatred thrown at him, and you realized, you listened to the words he was saying, he was talking about peace and love and unity and justice. And people who weren't feeling that in their heart couldn't turn that away, because that's what human emotion does. And over time, he won over most of the country. Some of the major changes we've had in our country, you can attribute directly to the work of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he paid for that with his life. That is something we should celebrate. Dr. Martin Luther King was a great man in American history. He helped our country to move forward. Right? Fighting and burning in the street and pulling people out of cars and looting and rioting in rage is not a way to turn people to your point of view. So you might think that it's justified to go out and do these things. Violence is never justified to do these things. That's not how people change. You know, that's how tyrants make change. Free people, like all of us, whether you think you're free or not, you live in America, you are a free person. Right? Freedom is expanded through love and learning. Tyranny is spread at the end of a bat. Right? Or a rock or a gun. That's how tyranny is spread. So if you're a young person out there and you're trying to figure this out, I'm telling you, think about it. Right? Marching in the street is our American right. It is one of the great things we get to do. If we don't like what the government's doing, we get to go out and march and protest it. We don't get to stop traffic because we demand people listen to what we say, or we're going to disrupt everything. That doesn't change anybody's hearts or mind. That hardens people's hearts and minds. But protesting is absolutely legitimate, right? Absolutely legitimate. So we got to think about how we're doing these things. We all want to make the right changes here. We all want the country to evolve to a better place. I know I do. I want all of us to get along. You know, I talked about the program me and my friend George Corbin are doing. You know, Blue Hearts Together. George and I are trying to bring our communities all together with our law enforcement because that's where we come from. You know, George is an African-American guy. I'm a white guy. We're both from law enforcement and we both live in our communities. We don't want people fighting and hurting each other. We want to get along. We all want to live together and enjoy the beauty of each other's cultures and how we can all be friends and how we can all get along. This is what we're trying to do. We're not screaming and hollering. We're not demanding. We're talking. We're trying to bring people together through common experience. So that's what I'm trying to get across to my young friends. And what I see in our two conventions here, I see the Democratic convention was very dystopian, very down, very scary. It didn't offer me a lot of hope. It just wanted to yell at me and tell me I was bad and I better do something else or I'm going to get hurt. That's what it told me. The Republican convention, I expect it to be very patriotic and up. That's just because that's how those things usually go. So we'll see once we get through this primary season, or not the primary season, the convention season, and we move on to the actual last leg of the election. We all have to make choices upcoming that are going to change our lives forever and for our kids. So for the third time, I'll say I never got back to this again. See how that happens? Who comes after Trump is really my thought. You know, Trump, he might give us a 4-year reprieve. The left isn't going to stop. They're going to get more empowered if Trump wins, because we don't stop them the way they would come out and stop us. You think if they won and we started protesting, you wouldn't get smacked over the head with a bat, dragged away, and nobody would care about it? The news media would say how good it was that mob of right-wing nuts was put down and taken off the jail. They wouldn't be telling our stories of trying to push for freedom and liberty. They wouldn't do that at all. You know, and that reminds me, a long time ago, when I say long time ago, I'm talking, you know, 10 years maybe, when the Tea Party started. Remember what they said about the Tea Party? They were right-wing, radical nuts, KKK people that wanted to, you know, hurt minorities and prevent people from voting and bring the country back to the 1700s. And Tea Party was no such thing. Tea Party was no such thing. I attended Tea Party rallies with my family. We went out there. There was people of every color. There was people of every nationality. There was flags everywhere. There was military people there. And everyone was celebrating the glory of America and the hope for an even better America down the road. I was there. There was music. There was fun. There was laughter. People were getting along. But when you saw it portrayed on the media, they picked the one or two nuts that come out in any event like that, carrying some ridiculous poster. And they focus on them and they try and tell you that's what the whole crowd was. Now, I got to tell you, the crowd I was at was pretty big. There was lots of people, and we had a couple of nuts carrying ridiculous signs, and the crowd turned on them and had them leave, made them very uncomfortable, and they left because they were saying some pretty hateful things that had no reflection on who we were as a group, right? But we saw that the power of government was used against the Tea Party. They were prevented their free speech. We forgot that scandal. Yeah, when President Obama used, the tax offices and permits and all that kind of stuff against the Tea Party people. Yeah, we kind of forgot about that one, to shut that down, to suppress that. Remember? That was a real thing that happened. But the Tea Party was portrayed horribly, and they were really not. They were patriotic people who just wanted a better America, didn't want government so involved in our lives. So anyway, when we think about that, I'm going to transition here to the last couple of thoughts I have for today, for this week, you know, because I got lots of thoughts, so I'll be back tomorrow with plenty more thoughts every day at 3 o'clock, every weekday at 3 o'clock here on the America Out Loud Network. Some of the things we want to compare the two conventions is how they're also going to be covered by the media. Did you hear any negative media coverage about the Democrat convention? Did you hear any concern that they didn't talk about the violence in our streets? Even once, they didn't bring it up. Did you see that they didn't talk about any of the good things? Did you see waving of flags? Have you ever seen a breakout of USA, USA at a Democrat event? We don't see that, do we? Why is that? Right? They say, oh, we're patriotic and we love America. Don't challenge us about that. Well, why don't we ever see it? How did the media cover that? They covered that like it was the greatest thing in the world. Like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the greatest things that have happened since sliced bread and the forefathers. They are the greatest hope America has. How do you think they're going to portray the Republican convention? Do you think they're going to look at all the flag waving and the pro-America stuff and all the stories of individuals who've overcome hardships and who have attained and entrepreneurs and the greatness of America and the sacrifice America's made for the rest of the world and all the ways we're innovating and changing and moving forward? Do you think we're going to hear good stuff about that? Anybody who thinks you are, raise your hand, please. No, two guys over there. You two guys over there, you think you're going to hear that? I certainly hope you're right. But I have a feeling we're going to see the media represent themselves like we've understood them to be now. They are biased towards the left. Matter of fact, they are almost, in their kind of a word, apparatchiks for the Democratic Party. They only see things one way. They are stuck with anti-Trump derangement syndrome, no doubt about it. And they see America as an evil, bad place, too. And they are absolute cheerleaders for the left. They're not reporters. So that's just my guess. I hope I am wrong. See, that's where what makes me different than I think than a lot of people. If I say something like that because what I've learned, what they do over a course of time, I hope I'm wrong. I hope they treat it fairly. I hope they listen to the messages. And when they're going to fact check. I don't think they did any fact checking with our Democratic friends, did they? Did they have on-site fact checkers at CNN that were going to, every time Joe Biden said something? Like when he said, and we know, remember when all those people, those KKK guys came out of the woods with the torches at Charlottesville and Trump said they're fine people. Remember that? Mr. Biden just said that. Where was the fact checkers on the left there? Because that's been debunked. That's been proved. Even Jake Tapper had to come out and say that President Trump was not saying that the KKK people were fine people. What he was saying is in the argument over taking down statues in their community, there were some people who were for taking them down and some people who wanted to preserve them. And there were fine people on both sides of that argument. He specifically said the neo-Nazis and the skinheads and the KKK were bad. And they are bad. And they should be disreputed. And we should rebuke them. And we should not give them a place. Right? They have a right to free speech, but we don't have to listen to them. And that's what President Trump was saying. So the media didn't fact check Mr. Biden on that and call him out. I wonder how they're going to be with the Republican convention. Well, we're all going to see soon enough, my friends. I did not even get to some of the other stuff I wanted to, but that's why there's always tomorrow. So I like to end on a happy note today. I've enjoyed this show today. I've enjoyed bringing this stuff to you. I was impassioned today because I feel impassioned by this. Because I love our country. I love every person in it. And I really want us to go forward and have a great future together. Right? Fix what's wrong and be even greater. I hope you want that too. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice. And we'll see you the next time on Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.